You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 290, entitled How to Let Go of Your Ego and Love Yourself Fully, I chat with Randy Havison. Randy Havison is a life coach, TEDx speaker, and the author of the book, The Ego Cleanse, Becoming Your Own Best Friend. In today's episode, Randy talks about how to get rid of your ego and fall in love with your true self. He discusses the journey he took to overcome his own personal struggles in life and what he had to do to break out of a suicidal depression and self-loathing period in his life. He talks about what he did to find love within and what he recommends we all do on a daily basis for cleansing our souls from ego and filling it with love. If you're wondering how to let go of your ego and love yourself fully, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. The best self-help book ever written has now become the best self-help audiobook ever recorded. Go to elitemindbook.com to pick yourself up Elite Mind, the audiobook, today on Audible. It's also available on iTunes and all the other platforms that have audiobooks where you listen to them on. It's on there as well. Pick yourself up Elite Mind. I'm telling you, this book and audiobook, if you haven't gotten the paperback or Kindle yet, will change your life. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is Randy Havison, the author of the new book called The Ego Cleanse. Randy, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on, dude. I'm just going through some of the notes, going through your book, and it's a really interesting topic. I want to dive. We're going to focus on that in a moment about the ego cleanse, getting rid of your ego and boosting your self-esteem and getting over some of those problems associated with the two. But just take 60 seconds or so, man. What is it you do exactly right now, and how did you come up with this concept of the ego cleanse?
Okay. Oh, 60 seconds, man. That's tough.
Yeah, no, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, first question. Boom. How I came up with this... I'm a professional speaker, and I've been doing that for like 20 years, and I always wanted to write books, but what was getting in my way is I also have very severe ADD, so to sit down and write a book is really tough. So I ended up finding a ghostwriter, and she helped me write the book, and there was the ego cleanse, and she was so amazing at what she did, and I'm just thrilled with how it came out. I mean, she was able to write it in my voice, which I really wanted, and, you know, I'm into no fluff kind of books. I think there's too much fluff out of there, and when people are saying, hey, you need to make this like 300 pages, it's like, no, it's 130 pages, because that's what I want to say. So that's what I did, and it's good information to teach people how to raise their self-esteem, and everything that I put in there is stuff that I have done myself, and I know that this works. And the backstory on it is I was raised in a family where, you know, I pretty much had anything I could possibly want. My dad is like the typical American dream story, started with absolutely nothing and started investing in real estate in LA back in the 60s and started to do really well. And our houses started getting bigger and the vacations became more elaborate. And I went to private schools and had my first car when I was 16. And, you know, I had on the outside, I had everything a person could possibly want. But on the inside, I always felt less than. I never felt like I was enough. I wanted people to see me for this outside stuff. Hey, look at my car. Look at my label. Look at all this stuff, putting all these things on the outside. But on the inside, just feeling totally empty. And I found my solace with alcohol and other drugs, cocaine, marijuana, other things. And it's just slowly spiraled out of control. You know, the typical addiction story, it started out fun. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't as fun anymore. And I was trying to chase that old high. And it didn't really work for me. And by the time I was 24, I was expelled from college. I got fired from my job delivering pizza. I was down to 134 pounds. And I thought, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. So I ended up sitting in my room and getting out a knife and realizing that if you were serious, you cut down on your wrists and not across. And then I thought, well, can you cut one and then the other? I don't know. Maybe I'll just slice open my throat instead. And I looked in the mirror to see where to start. And I made eye contact. And I said, what the? Can I say, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
how did you get here? And I realized that I didn't want to die. I just wanted out. And I had no idea what to do. And I ended up calling a hotline. And I truly believe that the woman who answered that hotline that night, she saved my life. And I got that second chance, and I found my hope. And I have not used cocaine since that day. And 11 days later, I had my last drink. And that was like 36 years ago. And on my journey, I started to realize through therapy and books and all my writing and my journaling, realize that I am not those things on the outside. Who am I on the inside? And I started this journey of realizing that, you know, society has basically sold us a lie. It's told us that if we live in the right zip code, we have the right label, we drive the right car, you know, we look a certain way, then that gives us more value and more worth. But it's just not true. That's just what you have. It's not who you are. You know, I've seen people who are living in what we would consider poverty, but they're perfectly happy with their quality of life. So I learned that separation between the two. And what nailed it for me, I was watching TV one day, and this commercial came on that said, do you want to feel better about who you are and raise your self-esteem? Buy our product, grow more hair, and you'll have more self-esteem. And I thought, what? My self-esteem depends on how many follicles I have? I mean, that just sounded ridiculous. And it really solidified for me that this message that we're fed about how we're supposed to look and how we're supposed to be, it's a lie. So that's when I started putting all this stuff together and realizing that we are more than those outside things. And that's when the Ego Cleanse was born.
Nice. I love it, man. What a deep, profound story that is. And yeah, man, there's a lot of questions that go into that afterwards, but I'll just pick it up at kind of what jumps to mind first.
Yeah.
When you're actually in that place right there, you know, you're thinking of committing suicide. And did you actually cut yourself, or were you thinking about cutting yourself on your arms?
Well, I knew if I was going to do it, I wasn't going to mess around.
Yeah.
Again, even back then, no fluff, man. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So my thought was, I know you cut down and I see the vein there, but can you cut one and then switch hands and use that hand to cut the other? So I don't know if I could do that. And then I thought, well, let me just go for the throat. So that's when I looked up. So no, there are no scars. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking at where am I going to go? And I was going to sit in the bathtub so that I didn't make a mess for anyone to have to clean up. I was going to put a note on my door that said, don't come in, just call 911. So on the suicide contemplation scale, I was serious. Yeah. I mean, I was ready. I was ready to go out.
Yeah, it's a scary thing, man. I've known friends, too, who've done that as well. And they survived, but they were lucky to survive it. And, you know, they got the scars now to prove it. And hopefully, I really do wish them the best. And I hope that they're over it now. And it's been years since those things happened. But it's always just a scary reminder of how fucking real this thing really is, how bad depression is, how crazy suicide can be. And when you're in that deep, dark spot, man, it seems like there's no hope. But I always tell people, that's why I wrote the book too, An Elite Mind. I wrote it in the end of January. It's all about suicide. It's all about anxiety, depression, and of course suicide, getting over that, because I had that same problem in my own life. But it's like, I feel for you. I feel for people that go through that. There's so many people that are depressed right now, especially in the pandemic era. I think 600% it went up in the past few months. Suicides. It's like, it's one of the scariest things. So I'm just happy, honestly, that you were able to get past that. Now you're helping other people get over that.
Yeah.
And I think that having the hope to do that, like when you found that there's got to be something out there. For me, it was like, I got a hope that I can figure this out. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's like something driving me inside. Did you have that sort of drive? And if so, what was it that kind of compelled you to make a change?
It was that woman who, I don't even remember her name, but she, you know, I remember the phone rang. You know, it took me 45 minutes to make that call. It's not like, oh, I'm going to call a hotline and I'm going to get some help.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so desperate, and I went from, I don't want to die, but I don't know what to do. And when I made that call and it rang and she picked up the phone and she said, Be Sober Hotline. I said, yeah, hi. I think I have a drug problem. And she said, you know what? I've been there. And I know what it's like. And I've been sober now for a year and a half. And I was like, holy shit, a year and a half? I couldn't even picture a day. And she's been sober a year and a half? And she told me how she did it and how her life changed. And I was like, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it. And that's my message, like, for your listeners who are feeling desperate. They're feeling like they're backed into a corner. Like, what am I going to do? You know, do not give up. There is something on the other side. You know, I've heard this said 1,000 times, and I truly believe it. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
You know, right now it feels like, oh my God, are we always going to live in this COVID state? No, we're not. It will be over one day. You know, not miraculously, but it will be over, and we'll be able to create a new normal from this. You know, when people say, oh, I just want things to go back to normal. That's not happening. What was will never be again. So we're learning so much in this time of transition that what's going to happen from this is going to be a new normal. So let's not look backwards at what was. Let's look forward to what is. But yeah, these are tough times for a lot of people, but it's all about adapting and kind of going with the current of the river and stop trying to fight it. You know, just go with it, and we will get through this, and we get through it together. And that's why through things like this, people connect with you during this podcast. They can go to your Facebook page and they can connect with you and other people doing the same thing. It's, you know, suicide is about feeling alone. So if there's a way to find connection with people, that's when there's the hope comes. You know, when they connect with you and connect with me, you know, I'm a part of your Facebook group now. When I was doing my research for this show, I found it was like, oh, elite man. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to be an elite man. So, you know, I'm a part of that too. Anything I can do to be of service to your listeners and your folks, I am happy to do it. Because my view is every day that I have walking is a gift. Because I should have been dead 1,000 times. You know, I had a heart attack from a cocaine overdose when I was 21. And I'm lucky to be here. So there's a reason why I'm still around. And I realize that one of my reasons for still being here is to be on your show today. And I'm really grateful that I have these opportunities. And now I get to spread this message to others. And I really think one of the alleviators of the depression and the anxiety that's going on today is working on self-esteem. You know, we look at the outside, oh my God, my job, what are people going to say? What are they going to think? I don't have any money. What am I going to do? That's all that outside stuff. And now is a time, you know, one of the things I put on the website right now, if you can't go outside, go inside. Let's work on self-esteem. Let's work on your relationship with yourself. Let's move away from ego towards a higher sense of self-esteem, because when you do that, you become stronger. And you know more about who you are, and those trials and tribulations do not seem as devastating. So that's the message. It's like, now is the time to go inside and let's clean house and move forward.
Yeah, I think it can be, as much as I hate the pandemic and the shutdown, I think there are or can be some good parts to it. And one of those big parts that that can arise from this whole thing is the fact that we're or have been for so many years now, especially the last few decades for sure, but especially the last few years, 3, 4, 5 years, we've all been seeking what you're talking about here, and that is the external happiness, the outside sources, the ego trips, the materialistic things, the cars, the clothes, the houses, the women, like all the shit that comes from outside to try to make us happy inside. But the truth is, all your happiness really comes from inside. Even is something as profound as love, like when you fall in love with somebody in a relationship, if you really think about it, you boil it down to its simplest core root, that love is love that comes from inside yourself. It's mm-hmm. not because of the other person. You fall yes. in love with other people, yes. but that love is coming from inside. It's mm-hmm. harvested from inside yourself, and then you're sharing it with somebody else. And I think there's a big disconnect right now in society where we think all our love, all our happiness, all our others, all the stuff that makes us happy inside that fulfills us has to come from an outside source. And when those things go away, say there's a breakup, there's a job loss, there's a pandemic, yeah. our happiness is contingent on all those things. And then so we're not happy anymore. But the truth is all of our happiness, all of our joy, all of our fulfillment in life comes from in here. And yeah. we share that with the world. We express that to the world. And I think it's a good time to really reflect and get in touch with that side.
Mm-hmm. You know, you are so right. And this is one of the things that I talk about in my book and in my workshop, that if you want to find a real simplistic way to define the difference between ego and self-esteem, is that ego is from the outside in, you know, feed me, ego is, you know, I need your approval. I need you to tell me I'm okay. If I'm in this relationship, if I have this car, then I'm okay. But self-esteem is from the inside that we then take out to others. So that's what it's about, and that's what we need to get to, is sliding down that continuum away from ego and towards self-esteem, so that we do have that love. And, you know, the second part of the title, it's the ego cleanse, becoming your own best friend. You know, it's about treating yourself like your own best friend rather than your own worst enemy. We treat ourselves horribly. The way we talk to ourselves, the way we treat ourselves. I mean, we would never talk to our best friends the way that we talk to ourselves. So that's part of the shift, is starting to talk to yourself and treat yourself like your own best friend. And when you are your best friend, you're never alone. You know, nowadays I tell people, I go to movies by myself. You know, I'll ask my wife, hey, do you want to go to Epcot tonight? She's like, nah, I don't feel like going. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to go. And, you know, I go to Epcot by myself, and I go to the Disney parks, and I go hang out with friends. I go to concerts. I went to the Tool concert by myself, you know, months ago, and had a great time because I'm with someone that I really enjoy spending my time with. So, and people are like, really, you came here alone? It's like, yeah, and I'm having an awesome time. So that's the whole goal here, is for people to be able to do that with themselves. And it's, man, the happiness that comes with that, nothing can take that away. You know, ego, people can take away your ego or give you ego. The thing that makes self-esteem so special is that it's created by you. No one can take your self-esteem away from you. So someone can listen and say, oh my God, Justin, dude, that was like the worst interview you've ever had. That Randy guy, he sucked. And my thought would be, oh, I'm so sorry he didn't like it. I hope he gets something out of your next guest. Because that's not a reflection of me. It's just that we didn't connect. That's nothing about that person. It's not about me. It's just the connection didn't happen. So self-esteem is being really solid, that no one can rock my self-esteem. Although you can rock someone's ego. So that's what makes self-esteem so special, and that's why I love talking about this, because we have way too much ego in our society right now, and we need way more self-esteem.
So with the there's a couple questions I want to ask, and I want to get to how you cultivated your self-esteem, and when you talk self-esteem too, I'm thinking self-love. I think they're very similar, if not interchangeable. So how did you cultivate the self-love, self-esteem over the years? I want to dive into that in a moment, but I also want to ask you first before I forget. The self-love, to me, is probably one of, if not the most important things in life that we can do, is have that self-love for ourselves. Like you said, you're going to the movies, you're going to the concert, you're doing this, you're doing that. You're loving your time with yourself, which is for, honestly, for, and even for myself, over the years at times, and even in the past few months, I've had to deal with this, and I think a lot of people have had to kind of self-reflect and get in touch with themselves. But for a lot of people, it can be the hardest thing in the world to just be by yourself, chill by yourself, go to whatever by yourself, and just not have other people to spend time with because of whatever circumstance or situation pops up, breakups, whatever, that kind of thing. So it can be incredibly hard, especially if you're used to, say, a routine of being around others, and then all of a sudden it gets taken away. It can be very hard to be by yourself and have that self-love and comfortableness and just contentment with being yourself and being with yourself. With that said, though, the self-love, which I think is so important to cultivate, how is that different from, say, narcissism? Because I think a lot of people confuse the two, where it's like, I don't want to you know, be by myself. I don't want to think about myself all the time. I don't want to think of my needs and all this other. Like, I don't think people, narcissists, necessarily have that problem because of, you know, they don't actually love themselves. But I think people on the outside, when they think of self-love, they might think of narcissism. Can you break that down, how they're different?
Absolutely. Great question, too. That's beautiful. Narcissism is when everything is about me. Again, so it's feeding from the outside. Look how great I am. Look how cool I am. Look how much money I have. You know, they're the ones who have the $100 bills on the outside and the $1 bills on the inside. And they want to flash that and show everybody, yeah, look at me. Look how cool I am. Look how great I am. It's all about me. Don't talk about what's going on. Talk about me. So that is a very egotistical thing. Whereas self-love and self-esteem, I don't need to advertise anything about me to anybody else. I don't need to show a wad of money in order to feel worth. So it's not about what I'm showing to other people. It's about me having that for myself. So it's the difference between being confident with who you are and being cocky with who you are. oh yeah, you got a 93, I got a 95, man. Yeah, you can hit 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds. My car will do it in 3.4. Yeah, my car kicks ass. So that is the ego part. That is the cocky part. The confident part is, hey, yeah, let's race, man. This would be a lot of fun. And if you win, you win. And if you lose, you lose. You just enjoy the competition. It's like, hey, good one. Mm-hmm. You know, when I play chess with someone or a card game or something like that, if they win a really close match, it's like, wow, that was really great. Good match. And you shake their hand.
Yeah.
So it's not, oh, man, you beat me. What does that say about me? No. It's enjoy the competition, enjoy the time together. But that's the difference between the narcissistic look at me and the self-love of I just really enjoy myself and I love this process that I've gone through to get here. And, you know, that's the thing about self-love too. It's not a switch that you flip. You know, this, you know, the get rich quick and the lose 10 pounds in 5 days, you know, all those quick fix type things, they don't work. The ones that are long lasting and really implanted are the ones that take a while to grow. And the analogy that I use with people is like, if you want to run a marathon, you're not just going to wake up and that day run 26 miles. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. So it's about getting the right shoes and finding the right environment and going for a walk around the block. Then the next time, maybe jog some of it and walk some of it. Then after a while, you're jogging more than you're walking. Then after a while, you can run a whole mile and you work your way up to a 5K and a 10K and a half marathon. So finding self-esteem and that self-love, it doesn't happen overnight. But any step you take towards that is progress. And one of the things I talk about is that ego and self-esteem are like on a continuum with each other, with ego on one side, self-esteem on the other. You know, the first thing that I ask people to do is evaluate where you are on that continuum. And as you start to do this work, what I tell them, it doesn't matter so much where you are on the continuum. What matters more is which direction you're pointed in. So move on that continuum towards a higher sense of self-esteem. And no matter where you are, it's better than where you were. So the process is the hardest part, but once you get there, man, crossing the line of that marathon and knowing that it took you a year and a half to train to do it, man, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that feeling of working really hard for something and then having it come true. So working hard on your self-esteem, and then a year from now, it's like, you know, I want to go see that concert, but there's no one that wants to see it with me. I'll just go. And being able to do that and enjoying the concert and going, oh, my God, that was mind-blowing that I was able to do that. I've worked really hard to get here. So that's what it's all about.
To get all the incredible information you need to become an elite man and the best version of yourself every single day, go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. We have all the information, bonus tips, tools, tactics, and resources to help you become the best version of yourself. I'm telling you, you want to join the newsletter if you haven't already. I don't know why you haven't if you haven't, but if you're still not on the list, go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. This newsletter will change your life.
I always tell people too, when I'm working with them, it's not a, say, you know, you're 300 pounds and you're 120 pounds overweight. Like, you should be whatever the math is on that. I don't know, 180 pound guy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're way over shape. You're way out of shape. And it's not like, you know, you finally decide one day, you put your foot down and say, enough's enough. I'm going to get on this diet. I want to lose weight. I want to, you know, look good again, feel good, be healthier. It's not like all of a sudden, it's not like you have to wait till you're at 180 pounds. Before yes. You can be happy, before you can have self-esteem, before you can, you know, enjoy life. It's the fact, like you said, you're on that continuum in the direction that you're heading. So mm-hmm. Day one of exercising, of having the right diet, of doing yeah. the right thing, having the right habits, that's when you can start to change. You don't need yes. to be, say, 24 months later to be, you know, having lost mm-hmm. 120 pounds. You can start having self-esteem right away. As long as you're doing the right things and
exactly.
you're putting the right foot forward every day, that's where the self-esteem really comes from.
Exactly. It's the progress along the way, not the end result.
Yeah.
So yeah, losing that first 5 pounds is like, yes, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about, here's a question though. What about when you start to do the right things? And because I'm interested to hear your take on stuff, because I know that things pop up all the time. We all have, like, even you, even myself, other coaches I know, people I work with, there's always things in life that pop up, and it's never like we hit a certain level and like all our problems go away. So how does self-esteem relate to this, though? When you're doing the right things every day, when you start to, you know, get on this end of the continuum, which is the good end of the continuum, like you're on the self-esteem part as opposed to the ego part. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with things, though, like setbacks and things that come, like knock you down in life? Like, do you automatically kind of get thrown to the other side and it's like, I got to work my way back? Or is it more just like, yeah, just almost like a little hiccup or a bump in the road and you just keep going?
It depends on the situation. But the thing about self-esteem is flexible. So, you know, shit happens, life happens, but it's how you respond to it. So, you know, when things are when COVID happened, it's like, okay, you have to stay inside and you have to do this. Like, all right, so what do I need to do to adjust to this? Whereas some of my friends are like, oh my God, I'm going to go out of my mind. What am I going to do? And how am I? It's like, dude, just this is our situation right now. Let's make the best of it. But, you know, an example that I use a lot is 6 years ago, I had a business. I was the CEO. I had 20 employees. I was in two states. I was doing a lot of really good things and helping a lot of people. And then I made some bad personnel choices and a couple bad business decisions, and it started to crumble and it fell apart, and I had to close the business. And I was devastated. And I got trapped in that ego part. And I thought, oh my God, my business failed. That means I'm a failure. And what are people going to think now that my business is closed? And how is that going to look to other people? And what's going to happen? And I got caught in that fear, and I got caught in all that ego. And it took me about 3 months of being completely depressed and out of sorts. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do anything. I mean, I was in really bad shape. And I even, you know, contemplated suicide again. It's like, you know what? I'm out. But then I thought, I'm not going to do that to my daughter. So that's just not going to happen. So I realized after a little while, and I went back to therapy and I started journaling again and doing the things that I did at the beginning to get back to where I wanted to be. And I remember I was journaling one day and I thought, just because my business failed doesn't make me a failure. I was like, whoa, yeah, huh, wow, I'm okay. And I have a roof over my head. I have food in the refrigerator. I have my wife and my daughter who love me. My mom and dad are still around. I have so much to be grateful for. Let's see what life has next. And I ended up moving to Orlando and writing my book. And now I have my online workshop. These things, I wouldn't have written my book if I was still doing that business. So you never know where life is going to take you next. So self-esteem is about rolling with the punches. And yeah, sometimes it takes a while, but be gentle with yourself. Be kind with yourself. Treat yourself like your best friend. If my best friend lost his business, would I say, oh my God, dude, you are such a failure. I can't believe you did that. You really fucked up. You're such a loser. You know what? Here's a knife, man. Just slice open your wrist. You know, you don't even deserve to be here anymore. Would I say that to my friend? No way. But why do I do that to myself? So that's why watching the way that we talk to ourselves and the way that we treat ourselves, and especially when things are tough, be gentle. Be kind to yourself. What would you say to your best friend in this situation? And then treat yourself that way.
There's been studies. I think the number of negative or non-productive thoughts in an average person's day is like 70%. Well, just regular person, you know, no depression, nothing. But when you get to like depression levels, people that have depression, it's like 90-95% are constant, like just a constantly dialogue is just pure shit. Like, how worthless we are, how much of a loser we are, we should kill ourselves, like we have nothing going on, no friends, alone. Like, that's what we play in our minds all day long, every day, especially when we start to have those negative things pop up in life. It's like the more you can just kind of sit back and then balance out, like having more gratitude, journaling, those types of things, you can actually create more and more positive thoughts and get that pendulum swinging back on the good side where you're like bound, even like at like the 70%, you're at like kind of a normal level. But even more than that, I mean, if you go on the other end of it, then you start to be like really happy and grateful about things. You appreciate every little thing.
Yes.
Like you said, the roof over your head, that's probably the most important thing right now in America is, you know, a lot of people don't have that in other countries. And we got to appreciate even the smallest things, especially in pandemic era times, like, you know, like what's going on right now. But I did want to go back to what I mentioned before, which is when you, after all this stuff happened, the basically suicidal attempt and the depression, and you talk to the woman and she gets you out of it. What were some of the things you did in the couple of years after that to really work on your self-esteem and make sure that, like, you didn't get to that point again? You mentioned 6 years ago you almost got to that point, but you kind of, like, snapped out of it real quick.
Yeah.
How did you pull yourself together and start to really build that self-esteem and then get rid of that ego?
Well, number one, I went to therapy and I found a good therapist who knew addiction and taught me how to be human again.
Yeah.
So therapy was really important for me. He gave me a lot of tools. I also got into 12-step groups, and that really helped me to get support from other people who were dealing with the same issues that I was dealing with. And I learned a lot about people through that. And I watched people who relapsed, and I watched those who didn't, and what's the difference between them. And one of the things I found is that ego got in the way of people's recovery a lot of the time. And those are the ones who relapsed. But people who started to realize that there was hope and feeling good about who they are, they stuck with it. And I realized I wanted what they had. And my therapist had me start journaling. And I hated journaling. I remember the first time he told me, he's like, I want you to journal. I was like, dude, journaling's for girls. I'm not going to journal. And he's like, no, journaling's for people who want to feel better. Just journal. I don't care what you write. I don't care how much you write. But every day for the next 2 weeks, journal. I'm like, dude, fine, whatever. And I remember my first journal entry, I'm staring at blank paper going, I have no idea what to write. Oh, he told me it doesn't matter how much I write or what I write. My first journal entry, I don't know what to write. Second day, I still don't know what to write. Third day, I still don't know what to write. I'm really pissed off at Charlie for making me do this. And after a while, I started to write and all this stuff started to pour out of me. And I realized that, you know, growing up, I was a really sensitive person. And I always thought that that was a weakness, that, you know, something would happen and I would start to cry. And it was like, no, boys don't cry. Boys don't cry. And I would hold it in. And one of the things I realized when I started to get in touch with myself, a lot of my anger and a lot of my rage was because I held all these feelings inside and they would just explode out of me. But once I started journaling and I started doing this, I realized that my sensitivity actually is one of the things that makes me as strong as I am. And my ability to feel sadness and hurt and disappointment and frustration, that I don't turn it sideways and it all comes out as anger. You know, anger a lot of time is that quick fix that us men look for. You know, it's like if you say something that hurts my feelings, I don't say, hey, man, you know, what you just said really hurt my feelings and I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't talk to me that way anymore. I don't say that. I say, dude, you say that again, I'm going to take you out. And we take that hurt and that sadness, turn it sideways, it comes out as anger. But look at all the anger in this world and how much it's hurting us and it's hurting our society. And if we can take it for what it is, rather than I'm really angry, to say I'm really hurt right now, I'm really sad right now, because what's happening is really hurtful. You know, look at the whole Black Lives Matter thing. You know, people are angry about this, but what's really going on, they're sad, they're hurt, they're frustrated. You know, with all the things that are going on, they just want a fair shot. It's like, come on, man. But they turn that into anger because that's what we're taught how to do. And I want to help shift that so that we don't keep talking about anger. We can talk about our sadness, talk about our differences and work it out with each other so that we're understanding with each other rather than just trying to hammer each other.
Yeah, you're right. It's such a good point, man, for sure. And, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter thing, it's like, there's a lot of issues out there, man, a lot of problems going on with, you know, across the board. And, and I think it's a great thing in one way where people need to be heard. They got to talk about it. We got to have some solutions. We got to come up with, you know, talk out peacefully, talk about the solutions and create the solutions to the problems of that are obviously facing a lot of people in this country. But on the other hand, when that gets expressed as anger, like you're talking about, then we have rioting, we have looting, we have burning, stealing, even killing in some cases. It's like, that's the complete opposite thing of what we want here. We want solutions. We want peace. We want, you know, practical everyday solutions for these types of things. And we're not getting any of that because, like you said, a lot of these people aren't in touch with the almost like their sensitive side. They got to express these better and learn to come to the table and talk about it peacefully. Otherwise, we'll never get a solution to this thing. But especially for men, too, especially for like this is a man's podcast, especially for men. Like you talked about as a kid, man, you, and I was a sensitive kid, too. Like we were told from a very young age that we got to like keep these emotions inside. We got to keep them close to the chest, because if we, you know, reveal them, It's like we're weak. We're, you know, we're this, we're that, we're girly. We're like, it's like, no, if we express them in the right way, in the right places, in the right times, we speak about it, we let them out. It's almost like that passive aggressive thing where if we boil them up inside for years, it's just going to explode. And you wonder why, you know, there's like mass shootings and there's killing, like there's all this shit that like gets built up over the years because men can't express themselves. Or even like, even on a more common level than like a mass shooting, like domestic violence or like murder of like girlfriends and like, you know, that type of stuff. You let that stuff boil and you don't resolve it for years. And then just one day it comes out in such a crazy way. But
exactly,
you know, I think you're hitting on a lot of good points, man.
Yeah. And what I like to say and my theory is that when you look at domestic violence, and you look at addiction and eating disorders and cutting and all the issues that we have out there, those are the symptoms of a much larger core issue, which is a lack of self-esteem. When you raise people's self-esteem, there is no domestic violence. There is no addiction. People high in self-esteem don't need to go out and get trashed.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to do that. It's like, I don't want to do that to myself. I like myself like I am. Maybe I'll have a glass of wine at dinner or a beer at a ball game, but I don't need to go out and get drunk. That doesn't work. And, you know, you brought up the point of all the protests and all that. And I look at that as a difference between ego and self-esteem, too. The peaceful protests are about self-esteem. We need to make this situation better for everybody. The ego part is I'm going to loot. I'm going to burn this down. Yeah, I'm going to show people, look at me, look at what I can get out of this. That is total ego. And I see it totally as a self-esteem versus ego thing, that we need to raise the self-esteem of our society, raise the consciousness, and then these things won't happen nearly as often.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a good point. So we got to wrap up in just a couple minutes, but I do want to, mention, I wanted to get to the book and what are the actual takeaways, say, on a day-to-day basis, what can you recommend that people do to boost that self-esteem up and get rid of the ego things? Like, what are some of the day-to-day things, takeaway, practical tips for, like, everybody listening right now that they can do throughout the day?
Sure. Easy tips that people can do starting right now. I talk about the obstacle words that we use on a regular basis that, you know, life gives us hurdles, but these certain words and phrases that we use turn hurdles into walls. Words like can't. You know, I can't do that. I can't make that work. I can't lose these last 10 pounds. I can't ask my boss for a raise. I can't do this. Well, can't is one of those words that turns a hurdle into a wall. So look at how you use that and see about using something else. You know, it's not I can't lose 10 pounds. Do I really want to? You know, right now there's a lot going on. Do I want to do that? So it's not I can't. So look at that as an obstacle. Another obstacle word that I talk about is the should. You know, I should exercise more. I should eat better. I should do this. I should do that. I, you know, should is like a metal sledgehammer that we keep hitting ourselves over the head with that does nothing but devastate our self-esteem. So look at what your obstacle words are. And I list a lot more in my book. You know, I have this online workshop now. People go to my website. You know, I'm selling my workshop right now for $10. People are like, dude, what are you doing? You could get like $50 for this, $80, you know, for only three payments of $29.95. It's like, no, man, I want to make this accessible. It's $10, $9.95, and download the workshop, and all the tools you need to build self-esteem are there. So it's the obstacle words. And then another thing I talk about is I separate self into four different parts: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Look for ways to exercise and nourish all four parts of self on a daily basis. And if you do that, you will feel better about who you are. Just like you were talking about that 300-pound guy, you know, just going from 300 to 295, that's progress. So look for ways to exercise and nourish the four parts of self. And if you do that, your self-esteem will raise.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. So just sort of wrapping things up, what's a send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave our audience and then a place our listeners can check out the workshop and I believe the book?
Okay. You know, to wrap up, learn how to become your own best friend. It's a life that you can only imagine. It is so beautiful. You see things in such a different light. when you treat yourself with kindness and love, and don't think that any obstacle that's put in your way is too much for you to handle, because it's not. And by reaching out to others for support, you can overcome whatever is in front of you. I mean, I overcame addiction and failing business and getting thrown out of college and fired from a job delivering pizza. I mean, I was like this close to dying. And if I can go from there to here, you can have anything you want in your life as long as you stay out of your own way.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We become our own worst enemies. So we need to get out of our way, and anything is possible. So my website is randyspeaks.com. And on there is a link to the workshop, link to the book, link to my t-shirts. I have a t-shirt that says best friend with an arrow pointed up. I like that one because I'm with my own best friend. I have one, you know, you keep mentioning this. I have one that says love yourself. And my other one is we over me, because I see too much me in this world, and I want to shift that. So it's about we. So we over me is another t-shirt I have. So all of my products are there on my website. I made them as affordable as I can. I think I make like $3 a t-shirt or something like that. It's like, I want to make it accessible for people. So I'm not out there to look to make, you know, I said this during a program I did this morning. If I had the choice of making $1 million or touching 1 million lives, I'd rather touch 1 million lives. Of course, I'd rather have both, but I want to touch 1 million lives. To me, that is more fulfilling. Mm. So it's not about all that outside stuff. I'm happy. I'm content with where I'm at and what's going on. And your listeners can have that too. And it's a process and it's a journey, but it's all possible.
Love it, man. Thanks again for coming on the show, Randy. I really do appreciate it. And I know our guys are going to love this one. So take care and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.